Hi, everybody. This is Hala Taha live from Discover Las Vegas 2018. With me, I have Amy Hallcroft and CJ Coppersmith. Would you guys please introduce yourselves to our listeners?
Sure. I'm CJ Coppersmith. I'm the Director for Product Cybersecurity and Compliance at HPE. I worry about security development lifecycle, security requirements, and security architectures. And I've worked very closely with Amy Hallcroft, our Chief Privacy Officer.
Hi, I'm Amy Hallcroft. I'm HPE's Chief Privacy Officer, and me and my team are responsible for advising the company on data protection and privacy law compliance, and we also led the company's GDPR compliance program.
Very nice. Thank you so much for joining us. Can you guys talk about why data privacy and data security is top of mind for many different CIOs out there, and it's why it's top of the global technology agenda?
Well, I think the GDPR, which is, if people don't know, is this new European data protection law, is really brought privacy high up the agenda on all boards. It raises the bar for data protection, and it certainly raises the stakes by introducing some really significant fines for organizations that fail to comply. So I think that's raised the profile of it. And security is absolutely fundamental to good privacy. So that's, I think, why it's become a major issue for all companies to make sure they manage their data and protect it appropriately.
Very cool. CJ, do you have any comments?
I think that overall there's an evolution of identity theft and then on to broader concerns about social media and personal information retention. And you can almost trace this arc of privacy regulation from HIPAA, which was the first wave in this country, and now onto GDPR, and I would expect privacy regulation in this country to deepen soon.
Can you talk about the different rules and regulations that impact this space?
I think that I did mention HIPAA, which was the first wave of privacy in the United States in financial community and financial services. PCI DSS is key to secure data keeping, if you will. And then I talked about industry standard control frameworks. The NIST cybersecurity framework is a very, very good guide. That's based in NIST 853 controls. And while that's a very long and complicated document, it's a good place to go to look across and see what controls and activities and procedures would benefit one's own corporation, and even in the data cradle to grave data life cycle, how is data securely archived and media sanitized and so forth.
I think from a regulatory perspective, what's a common theme in data protection and privacy laws is that they are non-prescriptive about what good security is. It leaves it up to the organization to make that determination. So these kind of frameworks that CJ's mentioned are really important, and I think good ways to create some structure and rigor around your approach to security. And whilst the legislation doesn't endorse them, I think organizations that move to use these kind of best industry type control frameworks will do really well to be able to implement and also demonstrate their compliance.
And what are some of the risks involved with not having a data security governance program in place?
Well, if you don't have a secure environment and your data is compromised, either because you've been hacked or perhaps accidentally by someone inside the organization doing something stupid or thoughtlessly, or perhaps even a bad internal actor, and your data is compromised, the laws like the GDPR now really increase your exposure. If that happened because you didn't have good security controls, whether that's operationally or from a technical perspective, you will be on the sharp end of a fine because you didn't do what the legislation required, which is to have good security in place. And these fines are now really large. I mean, you're looking at between the maximum fines are now between 2 to 4% of the annual worldwide turnover of a corporate group. And currently prior to the GDPR, the regulators could fine a few hundred thousand euros. Now you're talking about 2 to 4% of worldwide turnover. That's a really big exposure. And if you haven't done what you should have done around security, I think they will take a hard line with you. So that's the risk from a compliance perspective.
From a business and perhaps an ethical perspective, corporations have a fiduciary to protect their customers. And if they don't, we're in a new world where not having adequate security can ruin your reputation. And if you lose customers' trust, you can lose your business overall or suffer business harm.
First of all, maybe just give an overview of what GDPR is, how it impacts the way we do business, and then what does a good compliance program look like?
Well, the GDPR is a new piece of European data protection law, which increases the obligations on organisations and how they collect and process and manage data, but also increases the rights people have in relation to their data and the control they have over their data. Well, I can tell you what HPE did, which I think is an example of a good compliance programme. So we started, well, many months ago, looking at our existing compliance programme against the GDPR and working out where our gaps were. And then we set up a whole programme management office with 13 work streams aligned into our business units and global functions to actually assess how the GDPR impacted different parts of our business and what we needed to do to be compliant. And then we managed the programme through to completion in May, and now we're living GDPR. And like everybody else, waiting to see how it's going to be enforced and making sure that our compliance program remains robust and adapts and changes as we need it.
So can you guys talk about why GDPR impacts global businesses and not just businesses in the EU?
Well, the thing about the GDPR is it has this very broad material and territorial scope. So by material scope, what I mean is it applies to the processing of personal data, and that's any data linked to an individual and any set of operations on personal data, and that's anything you can think of from collecting it to consulting it to using it right through to destroying the data. And then layer on that this territorial aspect of the GDPR, which is that if you have a business in Europe and you're collecting data, whether that's about European citizens or visitors or people maybe even outside Europe, you have to comply with the GDPR, whether you process that data in Europe or outside Europe. And also if you're a business that operates outside of Europe, but you're targeting people with goods and services inside Europe or you're monitoring their behavior, you're also caught. So it doesn't, you know, its tentacles reach really far. It's very deliberate. And essentially, protection of the GDPR sort of follows the data wherever it goes. And so it really does expand the scope. Quite sure how the regulators think they're going to necessarily enforce outside of Europe, but the intention was very clear. They want the protection of the GDPR to apply wherever that data is processed in the world.
I would add that it's even starting to influence computer architectures, because it before GDPR, the standard method was wherever you encountered personal identifiable information on a device or in a car or in a store, it would all go back to the cloud or a centralized location, no matter where that data was collected in the world. As the regulatory context increases, and you even have cross-country boundaries, there is a tendency now to move data analysis and computing to the edge, closer to the sensors and the devices, process it all there locally or regionally, and then only send learnings back, not personal information back to that central cloud. So we're starting to find a more locality of compute at the edge. And soon, I think 75% of the compute will be at the edge, not in the core data centers anymore.
CJ, did you want to talk about some compliance best practices in relation to GDPR from a technology perspective?
Having FIPS 140-2 encryption, validated encryption, is always a very, very good start for protecting your data. Protecting the boundaries of your ecosystem and even the internals of your ecosystem with network monitoring and artificial intelligence capabilities is becoming more and more important. Just looking for malware signatures won't help you so much. The criminal world has moved on, and now we have to look for anomalous behaviors, not strange malware signatures.
Amy, can you talk about the differences between a data controller and a data processor and why that's important to understand?
Yes. So under the GDPR, they identify these two types of roles that organizations play in relation to data, and the law now applies to both of these types of organizations. So a data controller is an organization that determines the purpose and the means of the processing of data. So as an example, within HP, we're a data controller of all our employee data, or our marketing data, which we might collect from our business contacts. And a data processor is an organization that processes data on behalf of a controller. So, you know, in the IT world, sort of a cloud provider or some other kind of IT services provider, you don't use the data for your own purpose. You just may process it because you're providing a service, and you don't use it other than for the customer. And the interesting thing about the GDPR is that previously the European data protection law only applied to data controllers. And if they engaged a data processor, they dealt with their responsibilities contractually. But now the GDPR imposes obligations directly on data processors, so they too are exposed to enforcement if they fail to comply. And that's a game changer for the processor community.
I know that a lot of the talk about GDPR has been about kind of getting the big technology players like Facebook, Google in line and in check. But what about small, medium-sized businesses? Do you think that SMBs will be impacted by this? And do you recommend any different approaches for SMBs?
I think very definitely they will. And I think the challenge for SMBs is that they may not have the resources that these big organizations have to manage the compliance program. And it is demanding from a compliance perspective. You definitely, any organization, no matter how big or small, has got to invest more money in governance and accountability, because the GDPR talks often about having to demonstrate compliance, to keep records. You need people to manage these kind of administrative sides, but also to maintain them, because as your business morphs and changes, you need to revisit what you're doing and make sure that you can demonstrate that you're compliant. So I think that's tough for smaller organizations.
Would you say that GDPR compliance is a once and done endeavor?
I think it is people and process, technology evolving through time forever.
I couldn't agree with that more. It's not a destination. I think everyone was very focused on the 25th of May, and if you got to the 25th of May, that was it. But it really is a journey. It's, as I was saying before, it's a constant review of what you're doing with data, whether you're compliant with the GDPR, recording what you're doing, be able to demonstrate that compliance to the regulatory community. So it's something that is an ongoing process.
How about the hardware piece? Can you talk about how to be compliant when it comes to your hardware?
I think that hardware undergirds compliance in some ways. And what I'm saying there is that the notion of being a processor, a requester, a provider of information and guarding privacy is meaningless if you don't have secure compute, secure storage, and secure transmission of data. If your facilities aren't secure, you may be meeting all the regulatory aspects, but if you fail in the basics of security, you will no doubt have a data breach that you have to report. So you may be doing everything exactly the right way in all of your business processes and your interactions with customers. But if you have a security failure underneath that, the data for your customers that you have a duty to protect will be lost or disclosed. And you may have won the regulatory battle, but you will have lost the privacy war.
Can you talk about retiring obsolete assets or broken devices and how to be compliant in regards to GDPR?
There are several approaches. If you're going to reuse media or anything with memory where you can have memory remnants and resident data artifacts, all of that needs to be sanitized, and there are techniques to do that. If you want to take storage media from one part of your business and redeploy it in another part of the business. Obviously, the safest approach is destruction of hardware. Shredding DVDs is a best practice, in my opinion, but I think that's the most important thing. Sanitization of memory and storage, and where possible, destruction of the same. From a security perspective, never let your guard down. Never become complacent. Always verify anything that you trust. Always be monitoring your physical, logical, and network perimeters. Always be confirming that your storage and transmissions are secure. Just can't stress the importance of the underlying security processes and practices and technologies. You just have to stay on top of it all the time, because the threat profiles are evolving very fast, and we have to evolve as fast and anticipate where they're going to go next.
I think I would just add to that is that I think the importance of audit of your, as CJ's saying, check yourself. So whether you have a good internal audit program, or maybe even engage third-party auditors to come in and check that what you've done is enough. But to CJ's point, it's not a standing still. You can't stand still. This is an evolution in terms of the threat landscape, and so you have to be constantly looking at how to improve your security. But testing the policies and procedures and practices you have is a good, solid compliance practice that every organization should employ to as much as they can.
Very good. Thank you, guys.